Welcome to Take on the Lake. I've got a story for you. Hey everybody, welcome back to Take on the Lake, produced by Lake Expo. I'm Nathan Bechtel. Thanks for joining us. So just a solo episode, just you and me today. And we're going to talk about something that just happened in Missouri that just has to be talked about, because the Missouri legislature just took speech policing to a whole new level. Now, I know that it's a terrible idea to just read legislation out loud on a podcast, but when legislation is this terrible, it needs to be read out loud. So we're going to start with that. Excerpts from this terrible speech policing bill that, if you ask a lawmaker, they'll say it does nothing but also literally prevents the next Holocaust from happening. So the bill is SSHB 2061. They passed it on April 9th, and it's on the governor's desk as far as I know. So we're going to read a few excerpts from this bill and talk a little about them and then say what I think this bill actually means and why it's so terrible. Here's a few excerpts. This one, we'll start with the definition, and I'm just quoting here from the bill. Anti-Semitism, or anti-Semitic, the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's, IHRA, working definition of anti-Semitism, including its contemporary examples, as it was adopted on May 26, 2016, as a tool and guide for recognizing and combating anti-Semitism. Now, let's look then at the IHRA's definition so we're all on the same page. IHRA's definition on their website. Anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred toward Jews. Rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed toward Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their property, toward Jewish community institutions and religious facilities. And then the IHRA gives some examples of things that in the right context would be anti-Semitism. And there's a lot. So I'm just going to read a few of these, but you can see them. Go look it up. The IHRA's website, by the way, IHRA is not International Hot Rod Association. That's a different one, which actually at Lake of the Ozarks we're probably more familiar with. But this is the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. So you can go look up their definition and the examples. But we'll read a few of their examples. One of them, making mendacious. Quite a word. I actually love that word selection. Making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews as such, or the power of Jews as collective, such as especially but not exclusively, the myth about a world Jewish conspiracy or of Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other societal institutions. So you can't say those things if you don't want to do an anti-Semitism. So another one. Denying the fact, scope, mechanisms, e.g. gas chambers, or intentionality of the genocide of the Jewish people at the hands of the National Socialist Germany, of National Socialist Germany and its supporters and accomplices during World War II, and then in parentheses, the Holocaust. So denying any of the, what they say are the fact, scopes, mechanisms, any of the numbers, details, any of those things, that's anti-Semitism. Accusing the Jews as a people or Israel as a state of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. This presumably, again, would mean saying, I'm not saying this, but this would be, you know, some people say, well, you know, 6 million is the number that was given in the Holocaust. And, you know, I think it's more like 5.5 million. That would be, again, I think here, possibly considered an anti-Semitism. Next, accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or to the alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than to the interests of their own nations. Okay, using the symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, e.g. claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libel, L-I-B-E-L, blood libel, to characterize Israel or Israelis. Okay, next, drawing comparisons of contemporary Israel policy to that of the Nazis. Okay, so those are just some of the examples that the IHRA gives of things that in the right context would be considered anti-Semitism. So you shouldn't do those things if you don't want to fall under the definition of anti-Semitism that the Missouri legislature defined. Actually, that I think this definition was first adopted in the teens, like 2016, I think it says, in Missouri. So let's go back to the bill for a minute. A few more sort of juicy bits in this bill. I'm going to just summarize in the definitions portion. A lot of bills generally always start with a definitions portion that defines all these terms they're about to use in the bill, right? And then those terms get used in other laws and stuff too. So it basically says that this law is about not doing anti-Semitisms in, here's where it applies, public schools, charter schools, entire school districts, public universities, community colleges, and state technical schools. So that's the scope of this bill. Okay, so let's read more bits of it now. Each educational institution shall adopt a policy clearly defining anti-Semitism and shall prohibit such conduct and shall include penalties for harassment of and discrimination against Jews. Okay, so adopt a policy defining it, prohibiting it, and penalizing it. I mean, I guess obviously they could define it however they want. They could create any penalty that they want. But my assumption is they're probably going to get the definition from the same place the Missouri legislature is getting their definition. So let's keep reading. Criticism of Israel that is similar to criticism toward any other country shall not be construed to be anti-Semitic. Okay, so if you are criticizing Israel in the way that you would criticize any other country, that's not anti-Semitic. Okay, but who decides then whether your criticism of Israel was a special criticism or was a the kind of criticism that would be, you know, not the same as any other country? Let's see who gets to decide that. So we keep reading. The educational institution shall consider whether the speech applies materially inconsistent standards as compared with other nations. Such consideration shall be one factor. Okay, so whenever they do an investigation on you for doing an anti-Semitism, what they'll be looking at, among other things, is whether in your criticism of Israel, you applied what they call materially inconsistent standards, like you wouldn't have criticized another country that way. Can anybody tell me what that actually means? How could you possibly judge that? Whether your criticism of Israel in a given instance is the same way that you would have criticized another country. Like, you know, would you criticize, you know, Argentina for having, you know, bombed Lebanon? I mean, that's sort of, like, it doesn't seem like something you could do. It seems like those situations are so unique and distinct that it's, how could somebody judge whether your criticism of Israel in any particular instance is the same as you would have criticized any other country? Well, somebody's going to make that judgment, right? So, and then we're going to keep reading. Nothing in this section shall be applied in ways that diminish or infringe upon any right protected under the First Amendment. Okay, and this part is what they added towards the end. And that's how they got some of the lawmakers to vote for it. They told them, we fixed the First Amendment problem. This is literally what happened. There were lawmakers that had a problem with this bill because they said, this feels like policing speech. Like, we have a First Amendment here. You can't do this, right? And they said, okay, well, we just put this part in that says nothing in this section should be applied in ways that diminish or infringe upon any right protected under the First Amendment. And they went to all those lawmakers and they said, it's cool. You just vote yes because we fixed the First Amendment problem. Like, that's what they told them. We fixed the First Amendment problem. And then so these guys voted for it. Okay, so here's the part then about the report that has to be filed. Quoting this, each educational institution shall report incidents and complaints of anti-Semitic discrimination or harassment. And then further down, the Title VI coordinator. So every school district and college has to have, and sometimes there's more than one, a Title VI coordinator. Title VI is under the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And their job is to sort of make sure that violations of that Civil Rights Act don't happen or get investigated or get punished or whatever, right? So the Title VI coordinator shall thoroughly investigate all complaints made under this subsection. After a reasonable investigation, if the coordinator determines that an educational institution has engaged in, allowed, or failed to sufficiently prohibit anti-Semitic discrimination or harassment in a manner consistent with the educational institution's policy adopted, that was mentioned previously, then the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE in Missouri, shall notify in writing the educational institution of such determination and that such educational institution is required to address issues described in such determination within 30 days after receipt of such written notice. Okay, so what that means is if after the Title VI coordinator investigates some kid or, I guess, teacher administrator's complaint about another person doing an anti-Semitism, then the determination, if the determination is that that school or college, the school district, whatever, did not do a good enough job of prohibiting it, that they allowed it to happen. They didn't punish it sufficiently. Then DESE sends that school a notice saying, hey, you screwed up. And then that school has 30 days to fix the screw up. And then it says, as we keep going, after the expiration of the 30 days to address issues in that determination, I'm summarizing a little bit here. If the Title VI coordinator determines the educational institution has failed to take the necessary actions to address such issues, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, DESE, shall report the coordinator's determination, in other words, report this finding that we gave the school district or this college or whatever 30 days to fix their anti-Semitism problem, and they didn't fix it sufficiently, then they file it with the United States Department of Education and the United States Department of Justice by making a complaint under Title VI of the Federal Civil Rights Act of 1964. Okay, last thing I'm going to read from this, and then we're going to talk about it. This is about the annual report that they have to file. So that's about the reporting an incident. Here's the annual report they have to file. The Title VI coordinator, I'm quoting now, shall compile an annual report on complaints of anti-Semitic discrimination and harassment as well as other Title VI complaints monitored, reported, and investigated under this section. Such report shall be published on the website of the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, DESE, and submitted to the General Assembly before July 1st of each year. Okay. So those are some excerpts from that bill. And that bill, this bill that the Republican vast majority, House and Senate in Missouri passed, is going to help us prevent the next Holocaust from happening. That's what we're doing here. We're preventing the next Holocaust with this bill. And again, it's on, as far as I know, as I'm talking about this, it's on Missouri Governor Mike Keogh's desk. Presumably he's going to sign it. I don't know why he wouldn't. I wrote an article about this last week, and the headline of the article was, students could get in trouble for saying Jews killed Jesus if governor signs new Missouri law. Now, over the weekend, I heard from a legislator about this. He voted for it, and he said we needed this law because of all the rising violence against Jews. I don't know about any rising violence against Jews. Maybe I'm missing it. It's very possible. I don't know if maybe then if he means maybe the rising violence that Jews that Israel is doing in the Middle East, if that's related, like bombing all these countries, jamming up our attempts at a ceasefire and this war not war with Iran. I don't know, which, by the way, you know, a lot of Israelis and Jews are actually not happy about this whole situation that Bibi Netanyahu is doing over there. Huge anti-war protests happening over there in Tel Aviv. They've limited them to like 1,000 people. You only have 1,000 people at a time protesting the war that Israel is waging against. I mean, how many of their neighbors now? I don't know, but only 1,000, but even more are showing up than that. And this legislator that I heard from did not like my headline. He didn't like it. He said, it's not true. They can say that the Jews killed Jesus. That is protected speech under the First Amendment. Well, if the bill supposedly protects First Amendment speech, then, I mean, and that supposedly means that a kid can say something like, the Jews killed Jesus, or, wow, Israel's ethnic cleansing of Gaza sure does remind me of what happened to them in Germany. I'm not saying those things. I'm just saying, like, if a kid can say that because that's protected under the First Amendment, like if some third grader, for example, says that, right? If you have some third grader at, you know, local elementary school, and he's sort of talking to his fellow classmates, and he's like, guys, have you been aware of, you know, some of the stuff that's gone on in Israel and Gaza and all that? I mean, boy, that sure does remind me of what happened to the Jews, you know, if this third grader were to say that, for example. If they say those things, I mean, they're allowed to, but they just can't say them in a way that creates an atmosphere of intimidation and hostility? Is that it? Then actually, why do we need this bill if that's the case? Why can't we just do a quick little bill that just says all schools have to have a policy that students are not allowed to create atmospheres of intimidation or hostility against one another? Like, that's literally just one sentence. We could just do that. That would be very reasonable, actually. Well, I bet every school in the state has a policy like that. And by the way, nobody would have any problem with that policy. Nobody would have an issue with a policy by an educational institution that says you can't be hostile, create this atmosphere of hostility or like fear or intimidation among your fellow students. Nobody would do that, right? I mean, nobody would have an issue with that, right? Despite the fact that arguably this bill actually creates an atmosphere of fear. But anyways, so I think That's actually would be a good policy. Like at educational institutions, we need more policies like this that actually elevate the experience at educational institutions, at colleges. I actually think if we're going to go this route, by the way, let's do that, Bill. Let's just like send this, like Governor Keogh, let's veto this bill and send it back to the legislature and say, just simplify this thing. Just make it a bill that says, you know, every school has to create a policy that says you can't have an atmosphere of hostility or intimidation, that you can't create that atmosphere. Students can't do that. Teachers and administrators can't do that. We just don't want like atmospheres of hostility or intimidation in our educational institutions. Great. And then I would actually say let's add an amendment to that, that schools should have better dress codes too, I think. Because, you know, I mean, like they did this for a really long time. You know, all over this country, even you know, around the world, you know, young ladies in like skirts down to the knees or dresses down to the knees, guys with like collared shirts and a necktie and a jacket, you know, nice like sports jacket, right? Let's do that. Let's add that in there. Let's elevate our educational institutions a little bit. That is a crazy thought. But I mean, if we're gonna do things where we're trying to like make it better in the schools and stuff, let's do that. I would love it too. If we elevate it, maybe schools create this policy where you elevate classroom discussion. So I got my master's degree from St. John's College. It's in Annapolis, Maryland. It's this little college, like one of the oldest colleges in the nation. It's like great books program. It's very discussion based. We read just like you read until you just can't read anymore, and then you go to class, and mostly we discuss these great texts, you know, Plato and the Bible and you know, Herodotus, and then like more modern text and all this stuff, right? So in that context, we actually had this requirement that you, when you would disagree or debate with someone, you had to address your classmates always. Basically, we would even do this outside of class by their last name. So if you're in a debate in class over, you know, like some finer point of Plato's Republic, you would say, you know, that's a great point, Mr. Goldbaum, but have you considered, right? And then you would go on to make your point. And so you would say Mr. or Miss. And it was great. It created this atmosphere of high-mindedness, right? Of elevated dialogue. Even people who believed things that you considered to be unconscionable, horrific, blasphemous things that you could not believe that this person would believe that, think that, say that, something about the atmosphere there, when we referred to one another by our last names, was this elevated sense, you ended up debating them with class and with respect. It was actually great. It was a great experience. I think we need more of that. Let's go for more of that in our schools, more decorum and propriety in our schools and classrooms. I'm first in line for that. But that is not what this bill is doing. That's not what this bill is doing. Because I would bet that, again, like schools across the state already have rules that you can't create like intimidation against other students, right? So if they already have those rules, and surely the legislature knows they already have these rules, right? I mean, you would think they could find out if they didn't know. What's the point of this bill? Well, it's to make sure that everybody knows about a particular protected class, to make sure that students and teachers always have in the back of their minds that one particular group you cannot say anything against or offend. That's the point, right? Because we already have rules that you can't intimidate, create hostility, all this stuff. So why make it specifically an anti-Semitism thrust in this? And it's because you need to have in the back of your mind all the time about certain group you can't offend, certain things you can't say. So what is going to be the net result of this then? Students and teachers and everybody self-censoring, right? That's going to be the result of this, for fear that these Title VI coordinators and their federally endorsed authority is going to come down on their heads. And then additionally, we're going to get this annual report submitted to the legislature about the growing tide of anti-Semitism and other racism in schools and colleges throughout the state of Missouri. You know it's going to be a growing tide. That number must go up, right? It will. That number, those these numbers always go up, right? The whole program is built for these numbers to go up, right? Because a Title VI coordinator's job, obviously, is to find these things, you know, create education for administrators about sort of, you know, subtle acts of anti-Semitism in this case, right? And how to detect them. And then you would need to report them, obviously. And well, good job for reporting that, right? And then the Title VI, and actually the Title VI coordinator gets so buried under all these investigations that we're going to have to hire more coordinators for each of the districts and number go up. That's what's going to happen. Number go up. So Well, as number goes up, what do you can see the headlines now, by the way, right? The growing tide of anti-Semitism in Missouri schools. Lawmakers are looking at what do we do about it? Because the lawmakers are going to have to go, with the bill that we passed. I mean, amazing. You know, what was so great about it is that revealed this deep problem that is happening in the schools. So what are we going to do about it? Well, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to pass more laws. They're going to clamp down on speech even harder to address this growing tide of anti-Semitism. And they'll feel justified in it, right? Because the numbers show that this is a problem. They get this report every year. So they'll go after this specter of horrific racism that seems to have appeared out of nowhere and is sweeping through our public schools and universities. Again, you can see the headlines already. Re-education programs will have to be created for this, right? Offenders, the kids that are doing anti-Semitism, they'll have to take some online course as part of their punishment and rehabilitation, right? Curriculum will have to be altered to make sure that students understand the virtues of these protected classes. More reports will be generated. More investigators and bureaucrats and Title VI coordinators will have to be hired because this is important. This is critical work. We will root out these racisms no matter what it takes, right? No matter the cost. And the Republicans will lead us. Amazing. Amazingly, for this bill, actually, the Republicans couldn't get a lot of the Democrats on board for this bill. Want to know why? Because that annual report they have to do, it only applied to anti-Semitism and not to other racisms, right? So they changed it. They changed the report. So this is like an amendment along the way, because some of the Democrats were like, hey, you know, this is a good start, but there's, you know, Jews are not the only people that get racisms done against them. So we need this report. We want documented every time any student does any racism, right? So they changed it. They added an amendment to get some Democrats on board. And now this annual report will be about any incidents of a student in any of the public schools, charter schools, public universities, community colleges in Missouri doing a racism, not just anti-Semitism. Here's an alternative crazy suggestion. I'm not saying that we should do this. I'm throwing ideas against the wall, right? Instead of creating speech policing laws, which feel straight out of Orwell. I mean, again, like, guys, 1984 and this stuff is not supposed to be the playbook. It's supposed to be the warning. But instead of doing that, what if we did the opposite of it? What if we mandated, unless I'm not really for state-level mandates of school curriculum, but if we're doing mandates, right? What if we mandated that every school curriculum somewhere in high school, maybe we'll just keep it to the high schoolers, would include robust study and debate about these protected classes and nothing is off the table, right? Again, I'm not saying we should do this. This is a thought experiment, right? What if we required students to debate the merits and drawbacks of, like, the pre-Civil War South, for example? The whole thing, nothing's off the table. You know, one student takes the pro, one student takes the con. I mean, they do this with, like, you know, I mean, when I was in school, it was like, you know, should chewing gum be allowed in school? You know, it's critical issues of our time, right? So what if we actually said, no, you have to debate these things, right? One student takes the pro, one student takes the con, and then, like, debate. Nothing's off the table. What if they had to, like, debate the creation of the modern state of Israel in 1948? You know, the pros and the cons, merits and the drawbacks. I'm not saying we should do this, but thought experiment, what if that was required? Do you think that it would result in students that are better equipped to think carefully and think well about these topics and a variety of other different topics than the alternative, if students are just given a list of phrases they aren't allowed to use, thoughts they are not allowed to think? Which one results in better people, like more educated people? You almost begin to wonder if the point of this is education at all, actually, or just conformity. But again, I digress. I'm not saying we should pass that. I'm just sort of – it's a thought experiment. But if we are going to have this bill that's sitting on the governor's desk to prevent the next Holocaust, I just would like for it to be more specific. This might just be me. I would like more specificity because the whole First Amendment protection thing actually creates a problem in the bill. Like when it wasn't in the bill, it actually made the bill clearer. Right? Like, you just don't get some First Amendment stuff, protections in the public schools and public universities. You don't have your First Amendment. But now they had to add the First Amendment back in, and it made it complicated, right? Like, made it worse in terms of, like, understanding this bill. Because the question then is, what can kids not say? This is the question. Because, you know, when a law like this gets passed, there's all this, you know, we read some of it, like, there's all this language in the bill. But at the end of the day, people just want to know, like, okay, what am I allowed to do and not do, right? You're in a classroom, a kid's in a classroom, and they want to know, what is the stuff I can say and can't say? Give me the list of things that I can say, things that I cannot say. Does that list exist? Are we supposed to just leave students sort of perpetually questioning what they can and can't say and then just like self-censoring in a massive way, like just to be safe? Yes, actually, that may be the goal. So then back to my headline about this. My headline is accurate. If a student says that, says the thing about the Jews killing Jesus, and they say it in the context of a criticism of Israel, and it doesn't even have to be a Jewish student, anyone feels like the person saying it created a hostile environment for Jewish kids, maybe just a hostile environment generally, then the student who said it could get in trouble. So yeah, just like saying it quietly to yourself, you know, just kind of like whispering it to yourself while you sit at your desk in, you know, pre-algebra or something. Or maybe saying it in like a real friendly conversation, like, hey, how are you doing today? Did you know that the Jews killed Jesus? You know, like those things, like you, those are probably okay. Maybe asking it as a question in class, maybe, because the idea was that, like, well, you know, we don't want to get in the way of education, you know, like discovery and stuff. So maybe you ask like, hey, hi, Mrs. Steinowitz, I was reading in the Bible last night, actually, and I learned something I never knew. Did you know that the Jews killed Jesus? And when they did, they said, like, quoting, his blood be on us and on our children. I read that in the Bible last night. Did you know it said that? Like, maybe that kid asking that question of their teacher, maybe that's allowed. But let's just say there's a kid in class. We'll call him Johnny. Let's say Johnny. Johnny identifies as Jewish. I mean, listen, his parents are both Gentiles, the uncircumcised, right? But Johnny identifies as Jewish. And by the way, there are people like this. They're out there. I mean, they're people who are not Jewish, but they eat kosher and they keep like the Old Testament Levitical laws. And I mean, I don't think they're sacrificing sheep and stuff, but you know, they're like doing the Jewish thing despite not actually being Jewish, you know, like blood line Jewish. So we've got little Johnny. Johnny identifies as Jewish. He sometimes, like, he wears his yarmulke to school. Kid never eats bacon except for the Sunday brunch when they go over to grandma's house because she cooks the bacon into the egg casserole. And his mom is like, this is all there is, Johnny. This is breakfast. So just eat it, right? Because he's going through this phase or whatever. So that's the only time Johnny eats bacon, and he's just doing the Jewish thing, right? And you've got Johnny, and Johnny feels intimidated by this question, by you asking this question of your teacher. If she knew that in the Bible, it talks about when the Jews killed Jesus, they said his blood be on our heads and on our children's heads. You just ask that like as a question. Yeah, I was reading this. Did you know this? Well, if Johnny feels intimidated by that, you're in trouble. A literal federal investigation will be opened because of it. Now, maybe the lawmakers who voted for this would say, no, you're not. Your First Amendment's rights are protected. You can say anything you want to say as long as it doesn't intimidate or threaten people. But again, we get back to Johnny, right? So then I want to go, okay, so I can say anything because this is the conversation I want to have with every one of the people, the 100 Missouri lawmakers, representatives who voted yes on this bill. So I can say anything I want. And they say, yeah, sure, you know, within reason, maybe, you know, I mean, as long as it's not intimidating or threatening to Jews or, you know, little Johnny who identifies as a Jew. Okay, so I can't just say anything. And they said, well, yeah, I mean, you know, there's limitations, obviously. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. How do I know then what I can say and what I can't say? Because that list given by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance feels pretty specific, but you said I can say the stuff that's on their list, like is in my headline. And they say, well, you can say that stuff. You can say it. You just can't say it in a certain way. Oh. Well, how will I know which ways I can say it or not say it? And they say, well, if you say it wrong, then some kid or somebody will file a complaint. And then And then you'll actually end up getting pulled into a room, probably with like an administrator and the teacher who heard you say it, and then also this sort of federal government type person who's investigating it. And then that is how you would know that you had said it wrong. And then I'd say, oh, well, so maybe it's just better if like I, like kids, maybe we just don't talk then at school. Yeah, that's probably best. Look, you don't even need to talk anyways. Just sit there and listen, take your math test or whatever, and just don't do any anti-Semitisms, right? It's easy. And look, I know for a fact that there are many good and decent, the lawmaker that I talked to over the weekend, I like this guy. I think he's great. There are Republicans in Missouri. There are lawmakers who are passing some really great stuff. And they just got duped into voting for this. This is what happened. They have their reasons because they were told what reasons to have. And then they like heard a little of the debate about it. They didn't think too harshly or critically about it because, you know, if they had a momentary First Amendment concern, then it was like really quickly put to rest because, you know, the House leadership then came to them and they were like, yeah, I know, we have the First Amendment thing, but we added this clause and it says your First Amendment rights are protected. And they're like, oh, okay. And so, listen, I've been there. So I've seen this in the way that the bills work. You go up there and the bell is like always ringing and they have to like run in to the chamber and they got to cast a vote. And it's like, wait, which one are we voting on? Yeah, you're voting, you know, wait, we're yes on this one. Wait, did they address that concern? They got to go in and they got to run out and they got to do all these things. And somebody's out there trying to talk to them in the hallway, and there's all these different bills happening all the time, and so you can't keep track of it all, right? It's hard. So these lawmakers depend on House leadership to tell them what to do, right? They say, vote for this, and then, you know, if you're doing a good job as a lawmaker, as a representative, you know, you ask your legislative assistant, or, you know, you have some other people, maybe some trusted advisors, you send it to, hey, what do you guys think about this? And they go, yeah, it looks good, and maybe you read it, maybe you don't, but House leadership then says, we're voting on this. You're a yes on this. And you go, okay, but First Amendment, they go, we fixed the First Amendment thing. And you go, okay. So then you go in and you vote yes on it, right? Also, I mean, you did not, and probably leadership tells you this, right? You don't want to be on the record as having voted against a bill that would stop the next Holocaust, right? Right? But for all those people, all those lawmakers who voted for this, they need to understand that the same thing that convinced them to do this is the thing that convinces the left to do all the woke speech policing that it does. It's the same thing. It's this well-meaning stuff, right? These like niceness, well-meaning things that result in us having more government, more speech policing, more bureaucratic reports that lead to more government and more speech policing. And then, you know, again, the line go up on the rising tide of anti-Semitism and racisms in the state of Missouri, all under the guise of being nice and stuff, right? And listen, I'm not anti-Semitic. One of the best trips of my life was my trip to Israel. Took it my senior year of college. Amazing. I talk about it all the time. Amazing place. Can't go there right now or wouldn't, unfortunately. But amazing place. It was nothing like walking where Jesus walked, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, seeing the place where the Jews crucified him and where the Jews first saw him come out of the tomb and believed. One of my favorite movies of all time, I'm kind of a musical guy, all right? I'm kind of a musicals nerd. And one of my favorite movies of all time is the musical, The Fiddler on the Roof, right? Which clearly documents very sympathetically the persecution of the Jews, shows the Jews as part of the big Bolshevik communist uprising in Russia. Like, I love that movie. It's a great movie. I'm not anti-Semitic. People who are hateful of any particular group because of their race or background should stop being that way, right? But we don't need laws to make this happen. We need a better culture. We need a thoughtful curriculum. We need robust and free debate to make this happen. We need lawmakers, frankly, with better instincts. Maybe a premium AI subscription, I don't know, so they can like drop the bill in there and ask it some critical questions about the implications of these kinds of things. And seriously, can somebody please file a bill to bring back those really classy school uniforms?